Well, the intercontinental tectonic basketball shifts to begin as free agency is well underway. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Tomorrow we're going to be celebrating the 4th of July with the Hottest Takes Ever show. And today in part two, free agency, we're going to be breaking down so much, including but not limited to the Golden State Warriors turning all sorts of pages, Donovan Mitchell staying put in Cleveland, and even some major fantasy spin if you want to go for Jonathan Isaac getting a big deal here early on. But before we get into all of that, if you enjoy what you're doing or what we're doing over here at Sports Ethos, please consider subscribing to the show on all of your favorite platforms. Like, review, give us all that feedback so we can keep improving the show. Now let's bring in Steve Alexander. Now that we're a few days into free agency, what is catching your eye, sir?
Well, of course, I'm kind of intrigued by Klay Thompson going to Dallas, play with Luka and Kyrie to give them their, quote, big three, which I don't know if there's anything big about Klay anymore these days. So very interesting nonetheless. So that'll be kind of wild to watch. I don't know, what's your favorite thing about free agency so far?
All my favorite stuff is super niche, and it's just, you know, I don't know, the basketball nerd in me loves like a Mo Wagner signing or something. I don't know, there's just a lot of individual stuff going, like the big storylines just aren't there. I think we talked about that last Monday or so. The LeBron James, like he just re-signed. If we wanted to talk about LeBron and Bronny, I'm sure every show in America is talking about that today. That just doesn't do it for me. But you know, like D'Anthony Melton signing with the Golden State Warriors, like I'm like salivating, you know, just thinking about the what ifs involved with something like that. So I guess this is the show to be at if you like good hardcore fantasy hoops knowledge.
A couple of my obscure favorites is like, first of all, I wonder, well, constantly, every night it keeps me up while I'm trying to sleep, what the hell is Detroit doing? And, like, what is the end game here? I don't know who is running that show. I don't understand what the end goal is, but now we have Tobias Harris for $52 million. That's pretty wild to me. I think Philly fans are probably thrilled to see him go. I feel like I'm actually friends with a couple guys from Philly, and they constantly just moan about how much they can't stand Tobias Harris. So now you get another old veteran in Detroit to play with kids. And last year they were trying to win every game when they should have been tanking. I mean, I just have no idea what the thought process is there. And then the other thing that I think is very interesting, and really there's a lot of interesting things, but I think KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, leaving Denver and going to Orlando, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a hit for Denver. And I start to wonder if Denver's championship runs might be dwindling down, especially after they got beaten this year's playoffs.
Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, too. We talked about this a couple shows ago, is Oklahoma City getting Isaiah Hartenstein and the Paul George heading to Philly stuff. There's a lot of, like, behind-the-scenes just intrigue, you know, with Paul George leaving the Clippers high and dry and really putting the nail in the coffin of just a terrible deal, and then you just flip over to Oklahoma City, and they become super compelling, and they've got more ammunition. You know, somebody's going to have to sum that up for me, what they have in terms of first-round picks going forward. So those guys have the look and feel of a potential, not dynasty, because they got a long way to go before that's a true statement, but they're going to be competing year after year for a long time, and they've got ammunition to make even bigger moves. So, it's, you know, there's not that big wow factor free agency going on right now. You know, we are stuck contemplating, like, who runs the Pistons? Is it Tom Gores? I don't know who runs it. Is it J.B. Bickerstaff going to have a big say in things over there? He lands over there as the new coach after getting a 5-year deal. Tobias Harris back in Detroit. It's a lot of I don't know, low-level headline stuff, but I'm actually intrigued by the Tobias Harris thing. So I guess we'll get into all that. Before we do, let's pay some bills. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today, get on the action, use promo code BLEAV for your 50% bet credit and your first deposit up to $250. Bet online, the game starts here. I ran out of oxygen halfway through that read, and then I was watching MMA with my 4.75-year-old son yesterday and trying to explain to him, please don't do that at school tomorrow. So yeah, there you go, bet online. Where do we want to start?
I am a starting point. We were at dinner last night, and, you know, we were talking about bowling the other day, and we determined that a four strikes in a row is a ham bone. And we're sitting there at dinner, and a friend walked up to the table of my daughter's, and she goes, guess what? And he's like, what? She's like, I got a ham bone. And I was so proud.
Is that even right, though? Did we determine, is that correct, the ham bone? I feel like Google could be our friend here, or maybe not.
Well, a term coined by sports commentator Rob Stone. Stone would shout ham bone whenever a professional bowler achieved this feat. However, some other bowlers at the time also used the term ham bone to refer to two consecutive strikes. So, controversy.
I was going to say, that's some serious controversy there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
okay, basketball.
Yeah, I guess basketball, but we could go on this for a bit here. All right, so let's go to Clay. Like, Clay Thompson's an interesting name. I think there's been enough that's come out in the Anthony Slater reporting at The Athletic, talking just about how the sides angled toward this last season, and then this free agency season. And I think the writing's been on the wall for the Warriors. And I guess a reformed Warriors fan. If I am saying I'm a fan of a team, it's probably, if I'm being real, it's the Golden State Warriors. I grew up a Golden State Warriors fan. Media sort of took that out of me a little bit, but you know, I'm pretty still connected in that universe. And the Klay Thompson, Draymond Green declines have been really painful for that team. You know, the Draymond stuff is really, really tough, but Klay doesn't have the defensive ability that Dre has, and at least now at this stage in his career. And when he's not shooting well, that really becomes just an albatross upon them. And I think they internally decided that he had to be the guy that had to go. And he was pouting a lot this past season. And people, I don't think, give Clay that credit for that ability to do that. And I think it was just really in his head. I was listening to his interviews after the game. It was something like putting on Pink Floyd, the background of Wizard of Oz. You know, he's just going and going and going. And it's just way off in left field. And you just have to stop at about 10:15 p.m. after the games were over and just listen to this stuff and kind of laugh. But he just wasn't in the game, I don't think. Do you, as a resident Luca whisperer and fan, you know, father of Luka Doncic, do you think this puts them over the top? Do you think he plays well there? What's your take on Clay here today?
Well, I'm really confused because last season Dallas was one of the better defensive teams the second half of the season, despite having a backcourt of Luka and Kyrie, and those are two guys not known for defense. And we saw Luka not playing any defense at all in game three of the finals. Of course, I argue that a lot of that was because he was hurt, but whatever. People don't think Luka can play defense. People don't think Kyrie can play defense. And I think the entire world knows that after all the Achilles stuff and the surgeries and the age and everything else, we know Klay Thompson cannot keep anyone in front of him. So, number one, I'm worried about the exterior defense. I think interior-wise, Dallas is fine. They've got Lively down there, and they've got PJW, and they've got Gafford. So I think rim protectors-wise, they're fine. But this these three guys up at the top, I'm interested to see if they can play D. I'm also interested to see if Klay Thompson is washed up or not washed up. And like you said, he was pouting. He was emotional last year. And Steve Kerr was kind of, I mean, part of me gets it because Klay should be a respected veteran and have a lot of say in what goes on. Kerr was just kind of yanking him in and out of the lineup and starting and not starting. And I think Kerr probably could have been a little more honest with Klay and just been like, look, dude, you've had all this surgery. You're not the same guy you used to be. I'm going to bring you off the bench. Whatever. I do like the fact that Klay has a chip on his shoulder. I feel like Kyrie's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And I feel like Luka's going to come in kind of hot next year and kind of mad as well, which I think all those things are good for Dallas. Does it put him over the top? I have no idea.
Yeah, I echo all of your thoughts. I think that's a great breakdown. And where I wonder, so actually I want to build off your point in terms of them coming in hot. I really think that's a great mixture for Dallas is having the loss, having the criticism for Luka in particular, and then Klay coming in on a prove it sort of a situation. That's going to be great for them. They all have this capability, I believe, of playing up defensively when they need to. So in playoff basketball, I think that they're going to be able to crank it up a little bit more. I like the idea that Klay previously was one of the league's best defenders. And so he has a lot of corporate knowledge on how to defend, so he can get away with stuff that players that have had the injuries he's had probably wouldn't even come close to being able to do that. I wonder if they'll play a type of game where they either funnel to the big men or kind of just pack it in a little bit and force teams to beat them over the top, knowing that you know, if you're going to concede just one thing, conceding those threes, you know, maybe there's an angle there, though that's been the death knell for them and against the Boston Celtics, for example. One thing that's I kind of winced a little bit when I heard that Josh Green is headed to the Hornets. I think if you can place other high-end defenders around that trio, get those defenders into the second unit, you know, basically just stock up on defenders wherever you can, that would be one way to help this equation out. Now, Najee Marshall's going to join this squad. He was one of my favorite among the Royce O'Neal kind of crowd that comes in and does a bunch of different things. You know, Royce O'Neal's getting pretty up there in age, and Najee Marshall, I think, is kind of the better version of that player, and he's going to be with the Mavs. I think that'll help them out a little bit. That might even be better than Derek Jones Jr., I believe, for them.
I think that's a sneaky ad, man. I think Najee Marshall's going to play a decent role in Dallas. The other thing that's interesting about I do like the Najee. I don't know why I'm so scatterbrained. The other funny thing about Klay Thompson's deal, 3 years, $50 million. I mean, that's pretty good for his age. Like he's got to be pleased with that $50 million.
I think he wanted more though. I mean, I think part of the frustration, not maybe not financially motivated, but like, you know, respect oriented. Like, I think Klay really sees himself as old Klay Thompson and felt he was inhibited, you know, by the situation in Golden State.
Well, good. Maybe he'll come into the season on fire and just prove to the world that he still is the old Klay Thompson. If that happens, Dallas is going to be really, really good.
Well, I mean, and real quick, they also added Quentin Grimes. That guy's interesting. He, like, openly complained in New York on a Tibbs team about not getting touches that he didn't deserve. I don't know where to go with that one, but he's a real physical specimen. And if he can figure things out, you know, I think that could be an interesting, you know, fortify them in the two and the three slots. And again, it's just going to come back to Ken, the main guys defend on the perimeter. But if Klay is good, as you're alluding to there, that's really scary. I mean, three guys on the perimeter bombing away, plus the lob game and players. I mean, Luka's going to find Clay wherever. I'm kind of curious what kind of motion and movement offense they're going to build into this thing. You know, if Clay's just sort of spotting up, I don't know how that'll work, but real interesting stuff. Now, I'm going to ask you this on a fantasy perspective. With Clay there, does this impact any of the other players? And where do you think Clay gets selected, and would you take him in a draft?
I hadn't really thought about that. So, does it impact? I don't think it impacts Luka. Makes his life a little easier, I would hope. Shouldn't really impact Kyrie too much either. And yeah, I think Clay's going to be available pretty late, I think. And like Tobias Harris, I feel like Clay Thompson, like those are two guys I think you can get in the middle to later rounds of your draft that aren't going to hurt you anywhere and actually can probably help you. And especially if we're going to buy into this Clay with a chip on his shoulder bounces back this season in a big way, and you get him in the seventh round, I like.
Yeah, Clay in the seventh round? I don't know if I can go there, but, I mean, this is a guy that if he just kind of does what he does, he can produce seventh round value. He could even go a little bit better, especially in a nine-cat league. I wonder about time off and how they're going to handle that. I don't know that they are going to, you know, have some sort of plan for him, like, you know, with like back-to-backs or things like that. I mean, I suspect you kind of want to try to get out of that if you're Dallas and Clay. I think Clay doesn't want to be treated like that. And I think that, you know, Dallas, if you make this investment and really shift your team to kind of bring a Clay Thompson in, like having him rest every so often, I mean, sure, teams are doing it, you know, but to me, it seems like it could be an opportunity for him to get out of that.
Yeah. Aren't we far enough along in the Clay Thompson recovery process that he can go play basketball now? I mean, it's been a while. Like, it's time to play.
And even if he played, like, maybe they just say, all right, hey, you're a 28-minute-per-game guy. That's still a lot of minutes for somebody like Clay to get three-pointers. I hit 3.5 a game last year and did it in a frustrating season. So it's intriguing. I like players like this that appear to be sort of like distressed assets. And if you can get him, I mean, I think Clay will, I really think he's going to go. I mean, there's some name value there, but I think he'll go like eighth or ninth.
How is there not a band named Distressed Assets? That's beautiful. Is that like a term in the financial world that I'm unaware of, or did you just?
No, there are a lot of assholes out there that use that term. They're all really rich.
Okay,
they're all looking for distressed assets. Sorry, Daryl, fan of the show, Daryl Morey. I know you use that term probably all the time, but. Yeah, no, that's a term, and you should find a band, Steve. I think you're the guy that knows the bands. You should let them know.
And I'm just going to start my own and call it Distressed Assets.
Okay, I'll can I be the singer, or can I be the drummer? I don't know.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Sweet, sweet. Showing my kiddo pictures of Brian. How do you say his last name? Rosenwurzel.
Yeah, Rosenwurzel.
Really, yeah, showing my kiddo who loves playing the drums how Thunder God slaps those bongos, or they're the real drums, even.
Yeah.
He's pretty excited about that. Let's stay in Golden State with, let's sell some stuff before we get to Golden State. The NFL draft guide is live, and we have a 4th of July promo, and it's pretty insane. It's, I believe, 24% off for 4 months on any membership, while the All Sport Pass is at $8. So if you're trying to get basketball knowledge and you happen to play in fantasy football as well, this is an amazing time to become a member, and you get to keep your base price for life as long as you keep your membership active. So check it out, the NFL Draft Guide. I'm reading it, and it is awesome. These guys are at the top of what I think is just like the industry-wide game. So they're going to be giving you guys angles that you're probably not going to see your competition have, since the NFL department here is relatively new. So get in there, check it out, keep that membership active so you keep that nice low rate, and you'll also get early access to the B150 when we get into the basketball season here in a couple months. So with that out of the way, Golden State is interesting, and I love it. Like, they're just doing all sorts of things that I think, like, if you're a team that, you know, you're at the end of your arc, you know, you're going to hang on to Steph Curry, who's still one of the best players in the league. Dre, you know, eye roll, whatever, deep breath, you know, it's Dre, you got him, and you know, you just got to deal with it. And he's theoretically going to be, I guess, something of a leader. I don't know. As long as he's not just hauling off and smacking people. But, you know, okay, how do you get out of this downward spiral, right? You know, okay, we get rid of Klay Thompson. It is what it is. Then you start bringing in these contracts that are just super easy and easy wins, like D'Anthony Melton, easy win for the Warriors. Sure, we don't know about his back. It was bad. Like, he tried to play and couldn't. And anything having to do with the back, you know, especially in me and my spot, knowing about kind of my injuries in the upper thoracic region and just how nerves in general work, this stuff gets complicated fast, and back injuries are just nasty. So what we get out of D'Anthony Melton is kind of a up in the air, but he gets a $12.8 million contract for 1 year. That's not nothing money. So they got to feel pretty good about him in Golden State. You get Kyle Anderson, who really sort of sucked the last year, but had some nice moments in the playoffs that we kind of handicapped there. And they're in serious talks for Buddy Hield, who's just sort of been left for dead by the NBA. And he's still the same Buddy Hield that we've seen for the last four or five seasons. So one of the best shooters in the NBA. How are you doing with these guys? Are they perk your interest in terms of draft day? Any of them?
I could see a Buddy Hield revival in Golden State. And Buddy, I felt like, got off to a good start in Philadelphia, and then they just buried him and forgot about him, which was interesting. He didn't really shine in Indy like he could have. He really, it's weird, but I feel like he's gotten progressively worse throughout his career. You know, a lot of guys, like, by their sixth year or whatever, they're like peaking, and they've been getting better and better every single year. Well, I feel like Buddy, we kind of saw his best stuff in like year two, maybe year three, and then it's kind of all been downhill. I think, like, much like Klay Thompson, Buddy could get to Golden State and play with Steph Curry and become really, really good all of a sudden. But, you know, Lomo does not usually get me very pumped. Josh is going to the Hornets. I'm sorry. Kyle Anderson does not get me all fired up. D'Anthony Melton, I love his fantasy potential. I love his fantasy game. Can it translate to actual fantasy value? Like you said, his back is jacked up. I don't really know. I don't really know what that means. And just the fact that Draymond is on the Golden State Warriors makes them so easy to root against. And I have never really been a Warriors guy. And Draymond is a big part of that. And I don't know that these pieces they're adding are going to make that big of a difference.
But, well, I certainly worry about.
I'm more interested in seeing what Jonathan Kuminga does, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Like, we've got some bigger name guys, you know, even Brandon Podziemski. I'm butchering it, I'm sure. Send me your hate mail.
Podziemski.
I'm sure Andre is going to have it ready for us.
Oh, dude, he's going to put it in the chat, and he's going to break it down.
You're going to break that down. The best producer in the land, Andre.
Break it down for a kindergartner.
Please. Not saying that I'm that.
No.
I really am. I need the help, guys. No. I worry about the shooting, but Melton has a decent three-point shot. I mean, it's not great, but, you know, he's a willing shooter. He knows the timing of when to shoot. Maybe he doesn't shoot enough of it, but, like, that's the one part of his game that you're not so worried about. I'm kind of curious if there's been this effect of Steph. I mean, I almost think it's, like, a little unfair. Like Steph teaches these teammates of his how he works out. You know, they watch him play. And you look at a guy like Dante DiVincenzo. First of all, Sacramento correctly brought that guy in. Then he sort of has the injury and it just sort of steals away from everything that he's good at. And then he gets over to Golden State and he can almost barely hit the rim. Then he just becomes one of the best shooters in the league, it feels like, in some ways, like getting the most amounts of shots up and just becoming a really good three-point shooter. And so can that work on a guy like D'Anthony Melton? Can Steph teach D'Anthony Melton handles? I've always felt like if Melton could ever get the handles figured out, he would unlock a lot that he just currently can't get to. He's got really super long arms, so you know the ball's got to travel a lot from left to right, and I think he just gets picked quite a bit. So can he take a late career step forward and add some of those skills? That would be super interesting. But the lack of shooting in the crew of Kyle Anderson and then, you know, Dre, like, yeah, you got the shooting you want with Steph. Shooting just went out the door with Clay. But Jonathan Kuminga, not known for being a shooter. You know, Kyle Anderson, definitely not known for being a shooter. Like, what's the next piece that the Warriors can figure out? And actually, Monty Poole was sort of alluding to the fact that they weren't done in free agency. And when your team kind of adjacent reporters, and Monty Poole's a fine reporter, so definitely a journalist with a capital J. But when somebody that close to the team starts saying, yeah, you know, here comes more, they don't typically want to oversell it to the public and have nothing come back. So I kind of think the Warriors are going to have another big piece here, but they got to have some shooting. If they don't have the shooting, I think it could get pretty ugly with Dre, you know, Kyle, say Melton on the floor.
Wiggins.
Yep, exactly. Where it's just too tight out there. They start losing games. They start getting frustrated.
Well, I think Brandon Podziemski is going to take a huge leap this year. And he can shoot. And he does everything, and he hustles, and he's just a good guy to have on the floor. And then, you know, the other big piece I think they're talking about adding is Buddy Hield. And we know Buddy can at least shoot. He can't do a lot of things, but he can shoot. So if you have Curry and Buddy and put Pods, I think you're okay there.
And maybe
and Wiggins can't shoot. Yeah. But you're right. A lot of these guys can't shoot. So that's interesting. But if they've got those three guys that can, who are going to be playing a ton of minutes, I think they'll be okay.
Let's spin over to, I want to just quickly touch on the Tobias Harris stuff. Maybe the take is as boring as the take has been for the last 4 or 5 years with him, but Pistons are paying him decent cash here, 26 mil a pop. Like, does he just go where he has been going in drafts, and will he just produce where he has been producing? Or is there any chance that he actually...
Yeah, I mean... Actually, what? Sorry.
But could he actually be better because he just sort of got a license to shoot on a bad team?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like you're going to take Tobias Harris and he's going to give you what he gives you every single year, which really the numbers, fantasy-wise, they're not that bad. And if you get him late enough, he's going to help your team. So I don't dislike Tobias Harris or his game at all. What I do dislike is the way Detroit handled Ausar Thompson last year. What I do dislike is I think Cade Cunningham's fantasy game is overrated. I don't think he's going to put up that good of fantasy numbers. And then, are we ever going to turn Jaden Ivey loose? Now Tim Hardaway is there to mess that up. They got Marcus Sasser, who we've seen kind of do stuff in the past. And then Tobias Harris is going to kind of stand in the way of my guy, Simone Fontecchio. So that's interesting and kind of annoying. And then you've got a two-headed center with Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart. So dude, I don't even know. I have no idea what this team is doing. I'm really kind of thankful I don't live in the greater Detroit area and would have to root for this team.
Yeah, it sounds like you wouldn't be. I'm going to spin us over to the Magic. I know I mentioned Jonathan Isaac in the open, and so there's basketball topics and there's fantasy topics. This is a fantasy show, so I want to make sure that we get this Jonathan Isaac thing sort of hashed out here. But, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, to me, as you said earlier, is the bigger, maybe one of the biggest stories of free agency because of the impact on the Denver Nuggets. Let's quickly just kind of revisit that. How bad is that? I mean, like, is this something that is going to cripple Denver in their pursuit of being a top team in this league? I kind of think it does, but where are you with that?
With Denver, well, now it's the Christian Brown show, right? But I think Christian Brown is going to be one of those in the rough sleeper guys that a lot of people are going to want around your draft. Julian Strother is a guy that's also got potential. And, I mean, the door is wide open for those two guys with KCP out of the way. And what it means to Denver, though, I mean, I think they're going to miss his defense. They're going to miss his shooting. I think he's a little more athletic than Christian Brown, so I think you may lose a step there. It's interesting. And on the flip side, let's not forget that Orlando was a sneaky good team last year without KCP. And I think he does nothing but solidifies what they were doing and what they were building on. And you got Banchero coming into year three. It's a really interesting deal for both teams. I think it's Christian Brown season. That's SZN.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, maybe he'll be a part of the Hidden Gems episode that we're about to do here this week. But the KCP signing, you know, Magic were linked to, you know, Clay and, you know, some other players. And I kind of just, you know, rolled my eyes a little bit with some of that talk. Like, KCP, I ain't rolling my eyes with that talk. I mean, this is a guy who has consistently, year after year, even this most recent season, been great in the playoffs. And, I mean, in the bubble, he took some really, really big shots for the Lakers and, you know, just helped that championship along. And so, I mean, that's a great addition for that squad. Now, they re-signed everybody. It's kind of funny because of the three-headed monster at center. You know, you never really know what's going on with the fantasy value there. It kind of just changes on a day-by-day basis. Wendell Carter is sort of a question mark as far as, are they going to try to find a way to move on from him and unlock this rotation a little bit? But you re-sign Goga Bitadze. I had to butcher that one on the way out. 3 years, 25 mil. Mo Wagner, 2 years, 22 mil. Gary Harris agrees to stay at a 2-year, $14 million deal. I thought that might get to be a little bit bigger, that Gary Harris deal, because of the name, but he comes in really affordable. And then Jonathan Isaac gets the big deal, 5 years, $84 million. I'm like, I don't know if I'm shocked. I don't know if I think it's smart. I don't know if I think Jonathan Isaac can handle minutes all of a sudden. I don't know if Jonathan Isaac is like really freaking good. I don't know. I mean, I know we all know that he's got serious fantasy potential, but how does a 5-year, $84 million contract, what does that signal to you about his health and his overall upside?
Honestly, it kind of makes me want to vomit. Like, really? Like, all we've heard is hype on this kid for 6 years. What have we seen? Almost nothing. Like, literally. Oh, wow. Good job, Johnny. You played 15 minutes tonight. Come on, we're building on this thing. I mean, not to make fun of the guy. I mean, he's been injured. There's no doubt about it. And he's trying to come back from that. But, I mean, I don't trust Jonathan Isaac at all. And I never have. And I'm honestly shocked that Orlando would throw 5 years at this guy when they haven't really seen him do anything in the last 5 years.
I'm just befuddled by the whole thing. I mean, I kind of always just, I mean, I shouldn't do this, but I just assume if you have the player and you've got all the medical on him, I mean, you've been in the trenches sort of with this guy forever. You should know really well what his health is. And was there a market for Jonathan Isaac? Is this a cap thing? Maybe. I'm sure there's some capologists out there who could weigh in on, you know, the strategy of doing this contract extension. But I mean, unless you know based on your own medical that this guy's coming out of an injury phase, a massive, massive, massive injury phase, and going to be able to give you 25 minutes a game, say 70 games, 65 games, like how do you give him this much money? And then I kind of feel like, has Jonathan Isaac earned over $200 million in his career?
I wonder what guess what? He's playing behind Paolo Banchero. I do not get this deal. I don't get it. And you also mentioned three-headed monster at center. Well, look at power forward. They got Paolo, they got Isaac, and they got Mo Wagner. Let's look at point guard. Talk about three-headed monster. They got Jalen Suggs, they got Cole Anthony, they got Anthony Black.
What and maybe Mark, I mean, and Markel Fultz is one of the better names remaining on the point guard market, but theoretically he gets him too, you know, like in past versions. So
they're a weird team. Yeah, and the only guys, I mean, because there's so many three-headed monsters, like I don't trust any of the point guards. I know people love Jalen Suggs and they're like, oh, I love me some Jalen Suggs, but you know, Anthony Black is going to get more time this year. And Cole Anthony is a good player. And both of those guys are nipping at Jalen Suggs' heels. And then, like, the only safe bets, I think, well, who knows what this Isaac thing is going to do. Are they going to feel motivated and required to play him 30 minutes a game this year? I don't know that his body can handle it. But the only guys I'm really interested in drafting off this team are Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and KCP.
And KCP just got added to the equation. It's a mess, but I think there's going to be some level of hype surrounding this team in fantasy leagues. I mean, Banchero is as sort of hypey as it gets, and he's got the big numbers, and we all, maybe in fantasy circles, know about the deficiencies, but he's just always going to go kind of early-ish in drafts. And then Franz Wagner, same thing. You know, big fantasy name, maybe a little undervalued because of the bunch here and the bad playoffs. But, you know, KCP comes in with a pedigree, just got a big deal. He might get a lot of attention. You know, Jalen Suggs, I think finally the fantasy universe sort of caught up in the sense that he wasn't really on the radar for a very long time. And then he got pretty good there for a second. And yeah, just a lot. Paolo Banchero, thank you, Andre. And you know what? Hey, thanks, Andre. I will point out that Luka Doncic got his ass kicked badly yesterday by Mario Hezonja, Dario Saric, and Ivica Zubac. I know things, and Doc, you have to deal with that. That Luka just didn't have it.
I also got my ass kicked badly yesterday. So me and Luka have that in common.
Were you bowling?
No, I'm just playing around.
Just playing? Okay. All right. So
actually, you know what? I did get my ass kicked because I spent a boatload of money. I got my wife as a random gift. She's going to drive a Lamborghini on a racetrack.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely cool.
I'm a lot poorer than I was yesterday.
I'm not going to ask you how much that costs, but I do want to know. I want to know what that costs. All right, we're going to get out of here. We have a lot more to cover in free agency shows down the road, so we're going to just kind of tee it all up and just knock it down in between some of these other more fantasy-centric shows. Like I said, this next show, we're going to go over our hits and misses, the hot takes show for the 4th of July special. That's going to be sweet. We're going to have our Hidden Gems episode on Friday, I believe. And then, yeah, there's just a lot still hanging out. We got rumors. I think Lauri Markkanen's probably the biggest name on the market still. And all the teams that haven't gotten somebody or trying to get him right now. You got Brandon Ingram hanging out there, maybe some CJ McCollum, Markel Fultz, Tyus Jones. I mean, the free agency names kind of starting to dwindle, but you do have like DeMar DeRozan. Miles Bridges thing's super interesting. That's just, you know, from a kind of almost socioeconomic NBA marketplace perspective, is who's going to go what with where with him. But then it's real thin after that. Like Caleb Martin kind of stands out to me as a name to watch. And, you know, for big men, I think the market's almost already cleared out. Like Precious Achiuwa might actually be the only name there, you know, kind of worth watching. But we got a lot to cover, whether it's fantasy, reality. We'll save a little bit of our ammo for the upcoming shows this week because I see a couple of overlap names here on the list of things to talk about. So, yeah, that's going to be it for this show. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe, rate, all that stuff. Check out our blurb feed where you can get all of this information for free at Ethos Fantasy NBA, at Ethos Fantasy NFL for the same exact thing, but just NFL, and Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball. Big thanks to Steve and producer Andre Lemos, and thank you guys for making Sports Ethos everything it is. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.